Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so wonderful to be here worshiping with such a beautiful full house here at St. Stephen's this morning. As Pastor Emily said, my name is Becca Seely, and I am a Lutheran campus pastor. I work with college and grad students in New York City. And your pastor, Emily, and I were actually old friends. We went to seminary together in California, and it's been a great blessing for me to have ended up in the same synod as her here in Metro New York. We get to do a lot. I'm just going to embarrass you, right? We do a lot of stuff together. We work together in the synod on multiple things. She's actually the board president of our campus ministry organization, which is amazing. We both have one-year-olds who are really into each other. We both have spouses who are really into craft beer, and so our lives align in a lot of really positive ways. I'm saying this to say that I want to let you in on a little secret, and that is that Pastor Emily is, like, really into you guys. She talks about you a lot in all good ways. She tells me how grateful she is to get to be your pastor, about what a gifted and loving and exceptional community you are. She kind of lightweight brags about you, to be honest. And I like to think, because I'm a campus pastor, that I have like a fun job. But then I talk to Emily and she's like, oh, last night we just like had a barn dance, or, you know, like we just had a big band concert. I'm looking at your bulletin, you're having some fun quiz game. It sounds like an amazing, really fun community, to quote, I think it was Gavin. And so I'm a little jealous when she talks about you all, and I'm really grateful that she invited me to be here with you this morning so I can bask in some of that infamous, celebrated St. Stephen's glow. So thank you for inviting me, Emily, and thank you all for your warm welcome and for having me. It's particularly exciting to get to be sharing the word with you on a very special Sunday. I saw the signs up when I came in that said, it's coming, November 10th, Consecration Sunday. It's finally here, the moment we've all been waiting for. So I know, right, there's these signs. There's been a lot leading up to today, both to this service and to the special brunch that we're gonna have in a few minutes. Over the past month or so, you've been invited to prayerfully consider what percentage of your income God is calling you to give this year. And this morning, we're going to take some time to celebrate together our commitment to responding to that call. So in this time of reflecting on the word, I just want to invite you to think with me a little bit about what our relationship with God has to do with our relationship with money. So money's not something we talk about that much in church. Maybe you do here, I don't know. But in most churches, it's not the most popular topic. And a Sunday like this one, a stewardship Sunday, is one of the only times a year it comes up. And that's actually very bizarre, because the Bible kind of never shuts up about money. 15% of everything Jesus says in the Gospels relates to wealth. And he talks about it more than he talks about prayer, than he talks about faith. It's not just the New Testament. There are 2,300, more than that, verses in Scripture altogether talking about money and possessions. That's about 1/10 or a tithe of the entire book. So I'm a simple pastor. I am not a scholar. I am not a theologian. I'm not a biblical expert. But I'm pretty sure that constitutes an important theme, something that we may, in fact, be invited to talk about. And so the Bible, I'll say it now, is clearly inviting us repeatedly to recognize that what we have, what we've been given, is not just for ourselves, but can be consecrated, given, made sacred by offering it up for God's purposes instead of our own. This invitation to consecrate what we have been given begins right away in the Bible. Doesn't waste any time. We see it in our lesson from Genesis this morning. In this story, God has fashioned this creature, this human being, out of mud and breathed life into him and set him up in this beautiful garden with everything that he needs to flourish. And everything is very good, except it isn't, right? Because this earth creature, we often call him Adam or Adam, he's lonely. He's all by himself. And so God does this kind of matchmaking thing. God makes all these animals and sets them up with Adam on a date, and Adam's like, not the one, this isn't right. No armadillo or alpaca or cockatoo, whatever it is, fills this hole in Adam's heart. And so God says, I guess I'm gonna have to make something else. And everything that I've made out of the earth hasn't worked. God looks at Adam and says, wait, maybe what I need is actually right in front of my face. And so God puts the man into this deep sleep, and then takes a part of his body and forms that part into another human being, a companion, whose presence finally fills that hole in Adam's heart. And things then finally are very good. So in our reading this morning, we talked about a rib, right? Like God takes one of Adam's ribs and makes it into this other creature. But that's not actually a very good translation, even though it's what we usually hear. The Hebrew word that is translated here as rib, everywhere else in the Bible, it actually means a side. So like one of these two sides of this sanctuary we're in right now, or one of the two sides of the tabernacle, or one of the maybe the four sides of the temple where God dwells. And I bring that up, I think it's important, because it's not like God just says, oh, you know, this guy's got 24 ribs. He could probably spare one. It's not that big of a deal. No, God uses a whole side of Adam's body, something structurally integral to him, in order to make something new. And while everything is very good, at least for a little bit, and it seems like the creation story is over at this point in Genesis, it's actually just getting started. Instead of making new life by saying, let there be, or by creating things out of mud and dirt, God now creates in a different way. From here on out, God creates new life out of that which is already alive. From here on out, God creates new life out of us. So, on this consecration Sunday, we are being invited to show up and be part of that work of creation together with God. Whatever we've been given, including our bodies and our minds and our energy and our enthusiasm, our passion, our time, our talent, and yes, our money and our possessions, they are the raw materials of God's work in the world. And not just this Sunday, but day after day, God's inviting us to show up to the building site with much more than just like a spare rib bone to throw in. No, to show up with all of who we are. And that includes the things that we think we cannot do without, like our money. I wonder if some of our reluctance to talk about money in church is because it hits a little too close to the bone. Maybe we are worried that if we let God in on the conversation about money, God will ask us to offer up something that we're a little bit afraid to part with. Like the money and stuff that we've been taught by our society to believe deep down is as structurally integral to our lives as our bones are. That can be an uncomfortable prospect, to offer up a significant percentage to God of that which we are convinced keeps us safe and alive. I'm sure Adam was like a little wary at first. And yet, if Genesis has something to tell us here, it's that to show up with vulnerability and to give of yourself is to receive a thousandfold in return. Adam loses a side but gains a partner, a companion. What was a rib? What was a whole half of his body to Adam when he looked into the eyes of another human being and felt his world transfigured by relationship, by love, by mutuality, by family? He is formed anew, in body, yes, but also in spirit and in soul. The part of Adam that seems so significant to him personally becomes the means by which God transforms his life and the future of all of creation. Genesis is just the beginning of the story. Fast forward a long way, and we'll get to our gospel today. In Luke, we meet Zacchaeus, this short-statured, tree-climbing tax collector. In Jesus' time, tax collectors were pariahs. They were considered by the Jewish community of which they were a part to be greedy collaborators with the imperial Roman rulers, the oppressors. And so they were ostracized. Like Adam, Zacchaeus is rich. He has everything he needs materially, but he's lonely and he's isolated. And Jesus notices him, this guy that nobody wants to sit with at the lunch table, and says to him, Zacchaeus, I need you. Your table is where I will sit today. And Zacchaeus responds. Zacchaeus not only says yes, but goes further, joyfully offering not just his hospitality, but half of everything that he has for Jesus' purposes. And in doing so, he finds much more than he gives away, because in giving, he's restored to table fellowship, to a place in the community, to relationship, to love, to his own humanity. And even as his own life is transformed by that giving, his gift transforms the lives of his impoverished neighbors too. This is God's story. This is our story. God creates life out of life. God creates life out of us, out of ordinary people like Adam and Zacchaeus and you and me. It's a story that most of us have lived in some way already, right? Doesn't vulnerability, even when it's scary, allow us to enter more fully into life-giving relationships? Doesn't offering up who we are to something bigger than ourselves fulfill us far more than protecting ourselves and standing alone? Aren't we all insufficient on our own, no matter how much money we have? Giving ourselves away as a source of meaning and connection and abundance and, yes, life, it's hardwired into us. It's the way God made human beings since Adam, and yet sometimes it's so hard to remember in a world obsessed with scarcity. And so God keeps inviting us into life, into giving of ourselves, verse after verse in Scripture and day after day, including today. On this Consecration Sunday, we dedicate a percentage of our income to God as a way of living into the fullness of who we were created to be. Earthlings, earth creatures whose very lives are the clay out of which God is even now molding a new creation. And we dedicate a percentage of our income to God as a way of living out the gospel, the good news that we are much more than we can ever earn or possess, and that our freedom comes from the unconditional love of Jesus Christ, not from wealth or power or any temporary thing that the world says we cannot live without. And even more, it's the good news that God isn't done yet, my friends, not with us, not with our world. Through people like you, and congregations like this one, God is creating new things and building up communities of love that are transforming people's lives as radically as Adam's was back in that garden or Zacchaeus's was up in that tree. This morning, God is inviting each of us to offer something structurally integral to our lives, to a greater building project, one of which we cannot see the end. Out of each of the sides of ourselves, whatever shape, whatever size, whatever it is we're called to give, God is fashioning a tabernacle, a holy dwelling place where all people can experience God's love and gracious presence, where all people can show up with all of who they are and be received and loved and transfigured by relationship. A place and a community where everyone is needed and together there is enough. So my siblings in Christ, each and every one of us is essential to this new thing God is doing in the world. Out of our lives, God is creating abundant life for us and for everyone. What a strange and wonderful and utterly sacred thing it is to get to be yet another ordinary thing, ordinary creature that God is making extraordinary. So creating God, may we listen and respond and rejoice in the invitation to consecrate our lives to you. Amen.